Derek, you might have to keep me focused today.
Why is that?
I don't know if you notice what I'm wearing. Folks who don't have the video portion of this podcast because, well...
That'd be everyone.
There is no video portion of this podcast. Cannot see this beautiful, beautiful red sweater that I'm wearing today.
It's nice. I noticed the crest looks a little different from the red sweaters you typically wear, Mike.
Yeah.
Any particular reason?
Saturday morning here in Raleigh, North Carolina. The North Carolina State Wolfpack are going to demolish the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Please, please, can you guys do that?
Yeah, that would be so much fun. So you might have to keep me focused a little bit today. I may venture off into places. You know, I may or may not have poured things in my coffee first thing this morning. We generally don't do, like, early morning, Saturday morning podcasts. This is kind of fun.
I got to be honest, so far, I don't hate it.
Yeah, so far, so good. Thank you guys for listening and joining in, whether it's early morning or late night, wherever you may be. A lot of stuff to talk about in Caniac Nation. We were on a high peak the last time we talked, but since we've begun to face a bit of a murderer's row of folks not named the Vegas Golden Knights.
So we peaked and we're now at our refractory period.
Something's happening. I believe we call that the Cam Ward effect. Generally, we don't get that until after a really great stretch in November. But no, it's interesting in Caniac Nation. I did not think we'd have to put the back away from the ledge article out on the blog, Derek, 7 games into the season.
Yeah, it's not published yet, but I have it pending. Like, it's there, and it's ready, and that literally is the title of it.
Yeah, I mean, it is... We know that portion of the season is coming. We are, dare I say, a fragile fan base. But with the way the beginning of the season went and with so much promise, and also looking around the National Hockey League, there are a lot of teams who are out kicking their coverage, I would say, right now, to use another Saturday football term.
Vegas?
Looking at you, New Jersey Devils.
Oh, God. I forget about them, but... I don't know if we really want to get into this too much now. I wonder how much of the fragility is the fact that we're used to bad starts, the fact that there was hype, the fact that we've played fewer games than almost every team, if not every team in the league. So you look at the standings, you go, boy, we're already 4 points back. Well, we've played 3 fewer games. Like, let's take a deep breath. We are hockey 500. We've played a lot of good teams and a majority of them on the road. It's going to be okay. This is the team's best start still in the last 6 years. It's okay.
Yeah. As I look around, and it's also been, I believe, the quality of talent we have faced. We faced some really, really good teams thus far. Tampa, arguably the best team in hockey right now, not named the Vegas Golden Knights. Toronto can put up 15 goals on any night, and... you know, that St. Louis team that we faced last night was just, that was a rough and tumble. Kind of reminded me of the old Los Angeles Kings in their heyday, you know, 3 years ago.
Well, and then Dallas, you know, in the Carmanos article, which we may touch on, he said Dallas, people may lump them in as contenders, but before the season, there were a handful of experts who were picking Dallas to represent the Western Conference in the Stanley Cup final. And they looked really good. We've played Edmonton. They have a guy named McDavid who I've heard isn't bad. Winnipeg has a lot of talent. Calgary should be in the play. Like, we've played a lot of good teams. Thankfully, the stretch coming up, we get to play Colorado and Arizona and Florida and some other teams. So, like, it ebbs and flows. So let's not lose our collective poop this early in the season.
Yeah. I reserve the right to make judgment upon this team until we have reached the 20th game of the season. Yeah. Once we've reached the 20th game, things should have leveled out a little bit. Some of the teams will have regressed back to the mean, and I think this team is still in a very good spot. We've got some injuries to talk about. We've got goaltending to talk about. We've got the last few games, the next few games. We have a good guest lined up. Hopefully, they're able to join us. It's early Saturday morning, and, you know, there's things like kids and soccer and all of that stuff. So
families.
Yeah. So we're hoping we're going to have a great guest for you. We're going to do our best to bring you Saturday morning happiness. And just because it's Saturday morning, it doesn't mean we're not going to do a beer review either.
Because a wise man once told me, you can't drink all day if you don't start in the morning.
That's right. You know what else we can't start without drinking?
Huh?
This podcast. Hit that damn X button.
All right. Welcome to the Cheaters Never Win podcast, another fine product of Section 328.com. Here you'll find all the Hurricanes hockey talk, adult beverage reviews, and snark a growing body needs. Follow us on Twitter at @section_328. Respect the underscore. And now back to Derek and Mike.
And thank you to Hayes Permar for allowing us to continue to be a proud member of the Sports Channel 8 podcast family. It's new. I like that.
I do what I can.
I appreciate it.
I'm sure at some point I will run out of sound effects and I'll just like bring a synthesizer in maybe.
Well, speaking of sound effects, this week's episode of the podcast brought to you by...
This episode is brought to you by TickPick, where smart fans buy and sell tickets. Check out TickPick for the best ticket prices for your next game, concert, or event, and use promo code PODCAST to save $10 off any order over $49. That's TickPick.com. Promo code PODCAST.
Thank you, Sultry Ticket Lady, and thank you for being there so I can avoid talking about the Dallas game for another 26 seconds. Yeah. Mike, do we have to talk about the Dallas game?
The Dallas game, that's a good team. That is a very good team in Dallas. But I tell you what, that was also the first of what is going to be a lot of games immediately following a long day of travel. And I believe that it takes any team a few times doing that, particularly a younger team like ours, to really kind of figure out how to do that. You know, leaving Calgary, getting through customs, getting to Dallas. It's a tough travel.
I just had no idea Alex Radulov was like omnipresent. That guy was everywhere on the ice. And
Suter thought he played a lot of minutes.
I mean, JB Benn was so good there. And just a good heads up. If you're playing a team and you are on the power play, you should be aware that at the end of that power play, if you don't score a goal, the opposition is going to leave the penalty box. You should be especially aware of that if the man leaving the penalty box is Tyler Seguin. You might want to have a coverage plan for that.
Yeah. Tyler Seguin is good at the hockeys. How's that trade working out for Boston?
I don't even know what they got back.
I don't either.
If you know what Boston got back in that trade without Googling it, send us a message. If you're right, I will give you a handshake, the firmness of your choice.
And first responder will probably be at NHL History Girl because Jen is knower of all things.
That's true.
This week's, if you're not following at NHL History Girl, you know, we've tried to make sure we're giving you new people to follow here on the podcast. At NHL History Girl is one of the best follows. Not only is she a wealth of great, great knowledge, but her wrestling acumen and expertise... top notch.
And she keeps hockey Twitter fun, and we need more fun people on hockey Twitter. So give NHL History Girl a follow, and I'd be shocked if you regret that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, Derek, we could talk about the Dallas game. It's so far in my rearview mirror, though. It was good to get that past us because that was the end of the State Fair road trip. The boys were back in town. And you know what? We've got that big Tampa game.
It wasn't that bad, though. Like, if you just see the final score, you go, holy hell, it was 5-1. You saw what Tampa did to Pittsburgh. They're just beating the brakes off of everybody. But it wasn't that bad of a game. I mean, the shots were pretty close. It was really a 2-1 game. Then they pull Scott Darling. They get two empty netters. They put Darling back in. And the team, I don't want to just say in front of him, like, everybody was done that night. It was 4-1. They're like, can we just go back to the locker room, please? And Kucherov had other plans.
Kucherov, who would have thought... Someone pointed this out on Twitter yesterday. My apologies for not recalling who it is, but Steven Stamkos very quickly is turning into Joe Thornton.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best scorers with one of the best shots in the league. I believe going into last night's game had 20 points and 13 assists.
Oh, no, no, no. Last I saw it was 3 of them were goals. He had over 15 assists already.
Oh, wow. Okay. You are the accurate portion of this podcast. I'm more of a big thinker. Steven Stamkos and Nikita Kucherov. I love what Steven Stamkos is doing with his game because he is transforming his game. One of the guys with the best shots in the league is realizing there is a guy on his line and on his team who may be a better scorer than he is.
Which is absurd to think about.
Yeah.
Higa, Mike. Stamkos now 11 games on the season, 4 goals, 17 helpers.
Oof.
But no matter how you slice that, 21 points in 11 games, that's good. Second in the NHL in scoring, Kucherov with 19 points in the same 11 games.
And how many goals does Kucherov have?
He has 12 goals in 11 games.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. It's almost Jeff Skinner good.
Actually, he is the only one who is better than Jeff Skinner in the since March 9th of last year. I don't know why they chose March 9th. Maybe they're just doing dates like before and after the anniversary of Biggie's death. Maybe that's just a good delineating point.
That's when you think of hockey history and you go to the Hockey Hall of Fame up in Toronto, I believe there is, like, they have those big timelines, and I believe there is a big red line there.
Yeah.
Biggie's death.
We are now in year 20 AB.
Oh, God. We went there. See, that's what happens. You put Dallas and Tampa games back-to-back, and you were right. That Tampa game, while the final box score did not look great, the game itself was a tightly contested match. I believe we skated with them for a good portion of the game, and it could have been much, much worse. I think the team played well, afforded themselves well, and then what happened, Derek?
The Toronto game?
Oh,
you're talking about the collective mind losing. No.
Well, let's start with the collective mind losing.
Where are you going with this, Mike?
Let's start with the collective mind losing. So I was on the road. I actually spent Tuesday evening while you were in the friendly confines of the PNC Arena watching the game. I was in Smashville watching the Predators blow a 2-0 lead to the Calgary Flames.
Ooh.
It was fun to watch the shootout. You may not know this, but Matthew Tkachuk, not only is he a pest in the pain in the butt, but man, is he good in the shootout. He just schooled Pekka-Rinne. Great experience in Nashville. So while I did not get a chance to see the Tampa game being on the road for work, after the game, I pulled up Twitter and I was like, oh, what's going on? Oh, Jesus.
Right? Like, why break out the torches now? We touched on it on the open, but y'all.
It was fire the coach. It was trade Victor Rask.
Oh my God. Like, I know Joe Ovias likes to come in, stir the pot a little bit, and then get out and just watch. You know, some people just want to watch the world burn, Mike. And I know that Joe was doing that, or I don't know, but I'm pretty sure Joe was doing that to get the reaction out of people that he got. But, like, there were some people that were serious about the Bill Peters on the hot seat that were responding to Joe. Like, no, I would say the majority of it were, because the tweet he put out was, where on the Scoville scale, which basically goes from milk toast to insane, like, Carolina Reaper pepper or whatever the hottest pepper in the world is. I'm sure our buddy Peak of Good Living will let us know which one is the most delicious as well. But most people responded, yeah, it's about as hot as bell pepper right now. Like, we get this. But a lot of folks are going, no, his seat's warming up. You know, guys, no, absolutely not. You said we're reserving the right until we're 20 games in. This team's still playing well. You can look at a lot of different numbers like Corsi that show how much we are possessing the puck, how many more attempts we're getting. We're just not getting the puck behind the net. Our PDO is almost unsustainably low at this point.
And it's been unsustainably low for a lot of periods over the last few years. So I don't know if it's this team's unlucky or cursed anything with, you know, some of us potentially having sold our soul to someone who, you know, may live south of here in that 2006 season.
Millhouse?
I live in a drawer. Anyway, so yeah, I think the fan base, again, we're fragile. You look at it, you know, people are already saying, well, is Scott Darling a disappointment? We'll give him a chance to kind of figure things out. Yeah, no. Am I disappointed in Scott Darling's save percentage? Absolutely. Has Cam Ward played 2 games this season and played those games remarkably well? Yes, and that's exactly what we needed. We needed a structure to where we had a good starting goaltender who gave us a chance most nights. And for the most part, Scott Darling has done that.
Mm-hmm.
Cam Ward has been able to come in and deliver phenomenal backup goaltending.
Absolutely.
48 saves in that Edmonton game, and then afforded himself very well. He was the second star of the game last night in the St. Louis game. Made some fantastic saves in what was just a very close, tight-checking game. And I think that's what we need out of our goaltending. And folks are going, well, what about, you know, is Cam fighting for the starting job? No, it is my belief that the reason Cam Ward is playing so well is because he is not getting ridden into the dirt and getting beaten up and being made
fragile
because of the workload. He's just played too many games in this league for his body to hold up and to do that. And it is great. I repeat, it is great to see Cam Ward doing what he continues to do, and I think this team is in a really, really good spot. Let's talk about this Toronto game, Derek.
Okay.
Because that was a
very, very enjoyable hockey contest.
Yeah. 6-3, the Carolina Hurricanes come out on top. Came out, scored early, scored often. Shocker, Toronto fought back. Steve Dangle in his LFR Leaf fan reaction video, you know, basically says that he goes, Toronto can put themselves in a hole because defensively they're not great, but they can score themselves out of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they tried to do. They tried to score themselves out of trouble, but this Carolina Hurricanes team is talented enough and has the willwithal to be able to come back from something like that, not be up 3 goals or 3-1 and then 4, I believe it was 4-1 at one point. And
I think 3-1 and then they tied it at 3.
Yeah.
I think.
You're right. So it, you know, we bent, but we didn't break against one of the most offensively talented teams in the league.
And, you know, why wouldn't we put up 6 goals with the offensive dynamo Josh Joris?
That speaks to what I see as the value of this team.
Mm-hmm.
There's some guys at the top of this lineup who aren't scoring right now. I'm looking at you, magical hockey elf Sebastian Aho. Josh Joris potted a couple of goals. Brock McGinn scored a goal. You know, we've got some, you know, consistent scoring from the back end on defense. This team, once we get that frontline scoring that we're expecting from the likes of Staal and from the likes of Aho, and even to an extent, Justin Williams, who has scored a couple of goals but hasn't lit the world on fire yet by any means.
Mm-hmm.
Once those guys start finding the back of the net, this team is really, really good. And as Steve Dangle, who has not only watched more hockey than I probably ever will, but is probably more articulate on hockey than I am, at least the non-hat version of Steve Dangle, he said, you know, this Carolina Hurricanes team, if they make the playoffs, there is going to be no one, and I repeat, no one who wants anything to do with them, because this defense is so good. This team is so structured. And it stinks, because some nights when you're so structured and you just want to let go and you want to see what we did against Toronto, the reason we were able to do what we did against Toronto is because we were structured. People mentioned last night in the aftermath after the St. Louis game, well, why is it we always seem to play to the level of our opponent? And I think that while there is some validity to that, I think this team is so structured that when you do play a loose opponent, we look like we're loose because we are taking advantage of that. And then when we play a team like St. Louis, where we played last night, also note, third game in 4 nights,
mm-hmm.
coming off of travel back from Toronto, where we didn't get in until I believe midnight or later, because again, you have to clear customs to be able to do that. So, you know, long night, it was a very structured game. St. Louis was very good. Their gap was great. They forechecked like the Dickens. They played a physical game. The other part of that is the officials last night definitely let a lot of things go. The slashing calls, the holding calls, the freehand calls that we've been seeing in the early part of the season were definitely let go last night, and I think that was to our detriment, potentially. We had one power play on the night, and that power play was awful.
Mm-hmm.
Awful.
I'll get to the power play in a minute, because I know there's a lot of people with their hot takes now shirts on discussing the power play. The last 4 teams we've played, Dallas, Tampa, Toronto, St. Louis, in no particular order, here is where they stand. Actually, no, in the order. Tampa, first in the NHL in points. St. Louis, third. Toronto, 9th. Dallas, 12th.
Is that good?
I mean, for them. But that's tough sledding.
Yes.
And we have played all of those teams close. Again, final score of the Tampa Bay game, be damned. Sure, we only got 2 points out of those four games. It happens. It's an 82-game season. We're going to lose to teams like this. We're going to lose some games that we shouldn't lose. Hey, Avalanche games every year. And we're going to win some games that, you know, we'll go into a place like Pittsburgh and beat them by 5 goals. It's all going to happen. But, Mike, back to the power play. We've seen a lot of people, and we've got some cheap mail questions talking about the power play and the coaching on the power play. And why isn't it working? So I went and just took a quick look. And I know the power play percentage isn't everything, because there are things like, hey, why are our guys not moving the way they move when we're playing 5-on-5, and what's some of the strategy? And those are absolutely valid questions. But Mike, where would you guess right now our power play ranks in the NHL?
Same place it always ranks, 18th.
You are way off.
Okay.
17th.
Perfect.
Way off, Mike. We're 17th. That's average.
One spot out of the playoffs, exactly where we generally like to finish.
Yeah. Like, it's an average power play. Could it be better? Absolutely. Am I saying that we shouldn't try to improve? Absolutely not. But guys, it's an average power play.
And when you get, again, we don't have some of our guys at the top of the lineup scoring like we thought they were going to. Again, Sebastian Aho. Sebastian Aho played a very good game last night. He is going to break through. He was pushing the pace of play last night in that St. Louis game. He's going to break through. You could tell that he wants it. Very similar to last season, where mm-hmm. he didn't really score until December. And then once he started scoring, man, did they come in bunches.
And he still has 4 points on the season in 9 games. So that's, you know, he's playing really poorly on offense, and he's on pace for like a 40-point season.
So it's we're going to figure this thing out.
Yes.
I like the way this team looks.
I guarantee it.
I like where we're going. You know what I don't like? Let's talk about a couple of things I don't like. I don't like the way Noah Hanifin's playing. Noah Hanifin is about 5 or 10 games away from getting the Elias Lindholm treatment on this podcast. Okay. And I am a card-carrying member of the I Love Noah Hanifin Club with my Noah Hanifin jersey and having been there when he was drafted and all of those good things. I like the kid. I think the kid's got a big future in this league. I do not like his game right now.
I liked it earlier than I do later, so I'll agree with you on that. There have been a couple goals where it's like, what are you doing there, Noah? And I don't know if it's an absent-minded thing, if it's a tired thing. I didn't go back and look like, hey, was this at the end of a Ryan Suterian shift? Like, I don't know what it is, but yeah, he's not been great the past handful of games.
It's been... And I think it's been not even just like some bad giveaways, but it's been turnovers exiting the zone. Mm-hmm. And last night there was a couple of times in the St. Louis game where he was going back and he was the first guy back to get the puck and it wasn't an icing. But then he just softly paid the puck along the boards, got it stolen from him, and it led to a great scoring chance for St. Louis. And it's those types of things where he's got to be stronger on the puck. He's got to be stronger on the wall. He's got to be more precise on his exits. He's got to be better on the power play. Mm-hmm. There's so many pieces. When he came into this league, he was skating like Scott Niedermeyer. His skating was strong. He looked phenomenal. We're like, wow, we really got something. His skating's not standing out right now. And I don't know, you know, guys like Joni Pitkinen, who, you know, we love on this podcast, doesn't have to look like he's skating hard because he is such a fluid skater.
And a big guy.
And Noah Hanifin's kind of got that same thing about him, but it's just it just doesn't feel like it's there. I don't know if maybe there's a, you know, an injury he's battling. I don't want to make excuses for the guy. I don't know if he came into camp out of shape. I don't know what the deal is. He looked great in camp when camp first started, but just Noah Hanifin. I know you're, you know, big listener of this podcast. Do me a favor. Turn your game around, kid. I do not want to have to go full ham on you like I've had to go on Elias Lindholm before. It'll hurt my feelings. I won't be happy about it. But damn it, it's what's good for you, and it's what's good for this team.
It's going to hurt you more than it hurts him. Right, Mike?
Oh, no. It's going to hurt him. I'm coming.
I don't know if you're going full dad on this one.
No, no. I'm going. I'm going to go after Tom Brady. I'm going to talk bad things about the Red Sox.
Ooh.
Yeah, I'm going. I want to get some. I want to get some of that Boston anger up in the kid.
Mm.
Let's fight, kid. Let's see what you got. You know what? Justin Falk hasn't played great either.
Okay.
You know, our Falk and Hanifin, the future 3-4 of this franchise for the next 5 years, has not played well. You're on Justin Falk. I'm pointing at you. Yeah, right there. The thing that says, you know, thanks for your support. Sign Justin Falk, my kid's favorite player, Falker. Hey, Falker, get your head out of your butt. Start scoring. Fix the power play. Let's go. Might go full ham today. Just trying to if we don't get a guest on here pretty soon.
Yeah, that Monster energy is really kicking in for you.
I love it. I love it. Wait until 3:30 when the Wolfpack game kicks off. I will be completely intolerable.
I'm going to have to mute my text thread.
It's probably a damn good idea. Derek, by the looks of it, I think our guest is unfortunately not going to be able to make it tonight. So we will, or today, this morning, whenever you're listening to this, Mark Armstrong from ABC 11 had planned on joining us. Maybe we'll ask each other some of the questions that were meant for Mark Armstrong and answer them in our most Canadian person who loves the Utes. As best we can. But I'm sure Mark will be on a future episode.
I'm sorry, you're referring to the young people of Utah when you say the Utes.
Yes, the young people. No, I'm not referring to Utah State.
Oh, the youths.
Yes,
that's what I meant.
Youths. We will have Mark on the podcast on a future episode because Mark is awesome. We were going to talk to Mark a little bit about Chuck Greenberg, Derek.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
So I want to hear from you because I know there's been another time where Karmanos has, gotten behind or in front of a microphone and said some things that kind of pissed off a lot of the fan base. But Mike, when you listen to Karmanos or you read what he said, you typically approach it from the, all right, I want to hear this not from a fan. I'm going to turn the fan part of my brain off and turn the business side on. So I'm assuming you read the article from Chip yesterday in the News and Observer where he talked to Peter Karmanos about Greenberg, about the sale, about what's going on with this. And it sounded like a lot of posturing, but I'd love to get your thoughts.
So as a guy who outside of his fandom, you know, has to do end of quarter negotiating and sales and that type of thing, what I heard was a guy setting a whole bunch of artificial deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes when you're talking to a customer and you know it's the end of your quarter and you really need that purchase order signed and you go, gosh, you know, if you don't give me that purchase order in the next couple of days and you know it flips over to the next quarter, I'm not going to be able to give you the same pricing, when you damn well know you were just creating an artificial deadline. And if the customer calls you the day after the quarter like, hey, I'm sorry, but I got that PO signed, you're like, nope, it just went up 15%. And the customer goes, no, we're not doing that. And you're like, oh, okay, I was just kidding. Give me the PO. I feel like that's what's happening here.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Peter Karmanos is creating potentially competition for Chuck Greenberg that may or may not exist.
Leaning towards the latter.
I also think he is potentially creating some false deadlines, saying, you know, every day that you don't buy the team, the price goes up. The price would go, if we were 8-1 right now, something like that, sure, why not? Let's be a little bit blustery. But your team is Hockey 500, Pete, and your in-arena experience is not currently great. I'm going to talk about that before this podcast is over. And you're creating false deadlines. I get it. You want this done. This has been in the headlines for a while. It's something that you would like to just have behind you. I'm a little bit disappointed in Chuck Greenberg, too, because after the books came out and some of the people within Greenberg's buying party saw the books, were not real happy with what they saw, supposedly, and he had a few of his financial backers kind of pull out. He's had he's had trouble kind of filling that pot back up with all of the money he needs to pay the Hockey Llama and Mr. Karmanos. So I think we're at a good point. It's kind of where we're at in the season. There's no need to jump. Yes, we're all creating artificial deadlines, whether it's me in 20 games or some other people saying 10 games into the season, and we're looking at, you know, do we fire the coach and all that stuff. It's kind of the same thing. We're all just very blustery and very fragile. We all need something good to happen for this team, mm-hmm. and we're all waiting for something good to happen, and we're out of patience. This fan base, this city, this community, and everybody around this team is so out of patience, it's not even funny.
Well said, Mike. The part in Karmanos' article that got me was when he's challenging Greenberg. You know, because there's two different approaches. You can say, boy, I really hope this guy gets some money and can make this happen. I'd like this deal to happen. Karmanos takes the more, I'll just say, abrasive approach and kind of challenging Greenberg. It's more like, I don't think he can get this done. I don't think he has the people. And that can work. You know, if you play the NHL games and you have like the, hey, talk to your team. And do you choose the demanding tone, the motivating tone, the reassuring tone? And then you'll find out after you do that, hey, Jordan Staal's morale took a hit. He does not respond well to blank. You know, maybe Karmanos doesn't know or doesn't know how Greenberg's going to reply to that kind of, like you said, bluster. Is it he goes, oh yeah, you say I can't do this, boom, I'll get it done. Or you say I can't do this, you know what, screw it, I'm out.
Yeah, it's, we're dealing with guys who have giant egos because they have been very successful at what they've done for a very, very long time. You don't create a company the size of CompuWare and create the foothold in an industry that Karmanos held for so many years without having the ability to be a tough negotiator.
Right.
I also think Chuck Greenberg was able to get a new arena out of the city of Pittsburgh in the middle of a depression when the steel industry was taking a giant hit. I have confidence in Chuck Greenberg's negotiating ability as well. He also has friends in high places. I don't know, Mario Lemieux being one of them.
Who?
Mario Lemieux.
Oh, Claude's brother.
Yes. No. Jesus. Sorry, Mario. Mario, also big listener of this podcast. Jim Rutherford got him hooked on it. So, I want it to be done because I think it's going to be a huge infusion of excitement for this team, for the area. Even at this point in the season, I think if Chuck Greenberg closed a deal to run and operate this team tomorrow, I don't think we would see many changes mid-season at all because those are really hard to make in the middle of a season. So it would take some time. So whether the sale happens today or whether the sale happens June 1st, I don't think it has a lot of effect on what we as Hurricane fans are going to see and feel during this hockey season.
Mike, I know before when we've done the podcast, people really love the live in-game score updates that are no longer live once they hear the podcast.
Yes.
I do have a live Hurricane sale update if you'd like to hear it.
Yes.
No news.
Thank you.
So you talked about making changes, and people love if they like to complain about the on-ice product, boy, oh boy, do the locals, ourselves included from time to time, enjoy complaining about the off-ice things that the Hurricanes do, everything from marketing to the in-game experience. And before I get to what you have talking about the Canes in-game experience compared to, say, what you saw in Nashville on Tuesday, which I'm sure was awesome, wanted to say the folks at Canes Marketing are open to suggestions, legitimate suggestions. So if you have them, make it productive. They will listen. They want to do what's right for the fan base too. So feel free to share it and be constructive. Like, just, you know, calling the marketing team a bunch of idiots who don't work hard and you guys should have thought of this. Like, that's not a way to get something done. Be productive about it. They do listen and they want to fill the building every bit as much as we do. So with that, Mike, I was not at the game last night, as unfortunately I have but a half season. But it's not, you know, the most full building on most nights, and we know that, and we know what to expect. But what's kind of disappointing, particularly where we sit upstairs, is our fan experience sometimes takes a back seat because certain stands aren't open. And then that creates less people around those, and the atmosphere just kind of wanes a little bit at a Canes game. You went to Nashville, where they are known for having a great fan experience. What can you say about that versus maybe what you ran into at the St. Louis game last night?
So ESPN this week, or I believe it was last week, came out with their franchise rankings, everything from the product on the field or the ice to the in-game experience to the value you get as being a season ticket member. And the Nashville Predators were ranked as the number one franchise in professional sports. The Carolina Hurricanes were second, third, fourth in within the last couple of years. So these things can and do fluctuate over time. But it was a striking contrast, having been to two different arenas and two different hockey games this week. And this is something I'm going to share this story with Canes marketing and some of the arena operation staff. But I'm going to share it here on the podcast first because I think it's valuable to have this out there and kind of air it out in public a little bit as well. So went to the Nashville game. Great experience all the way from the entry with getting in very quickly to the store experience. I went into the store. Folks were saying, oh, welcome. They noticed I didn't have on any Preds gear. And they're like, hey, you're from local. Are you from out of town? I get Nashville being a very big tourist spot. So I think that's kind of
how many bachelorette parties at the game that night?
It was a Tuesday night game. So not a lot of bachelorette
only
parties.
Only 31?
I did not notice many, Derek. But what I did notice is that as I continued to walk around the arena, stopped, grabbed a beverage, and I said, hey, I'm not a member of Smashville, but I'm a 20-year member of the Carolina Hurricane season ticket holder, and I flashed my card, and they said, I will give you the discount. And I was like, well, that was kind of nice.
Damn, that's awesome.
So then I went to their version of the Kids and Community Foundation. I was looking at some of their auction stuff. Interestingly enough, they did all of theirs via text messaging. So you sent in a text message, and it linked you to a website, and you could do everything from right there, which I thought was kind of interesting. So mm-hmm. You didn't have to come down during the second intermission and do a live bid off and write your name and all of that stuff. That was pretty interesting, I thought. But they also, all of the Hockey Fights cancer gear was also being sold there. So they had kind of centralized all their charitable stuff. And three or four people talked to me. They said, hey, do you have any questions? Do you need anything? Just overall great experience. Once I got into the Arena Bowl, the music at intermission was great. The music was good. It was just, and again, I don't know if the in-game stuff of what the Predators arena staff did versus what Kane's vision did, I don't know if there was much of a difference there. You know, okay. I liked what the Predators did, and partially just because they played some wrestling tunes that really get me jacked. I mean, anytime you play Shinsuke Nakamura and Finn Balor's music coming into a period, yeah, I'm going to get hyped, but that's just because I'm a wrestling geek. So, you know, take that away. I don't know if there was much of a difference. I don't know if there was much of a difference there. I hate their goal song. I hate Tim McGraw. I like
with
Tim
you on that.
I like kind of Tim McGraw, the person. He's got to be a good guy because, you know, he married Faith Hill and, you know, score one for you. But I mean, the in-game experience, walking around the arena, every single person that I ran into who was a member of the Bridgestone Arena staff or the Predator staff said hello, acknowledged me, asked if I needed anything. Here's another thing. So my friend forwarded me a ticket. He's a Predator season ticket holder, so I had to sign into the app and do the mobile ticket thing and all of that stuff, and it was great. But then I got an email the next day that says, hey, we noticed this was your first time downloading. What was your experience like? How was your in-game experience? And could we follow up with you? Because we'd love your feedback. And I was like, that's pretty damn proactive. I mm-hmm. like that. So I did. I kind of filled them out, and someone called me and just said, hey, we just wanted to say thank you for giving us feedback. That was it. I got a call back for no other reason than I went to a game. And they knew that I was from Raleigh and all that stuff because I'm sure they could see all of that stuff in Ticketmaster, but mm-hmm. I still thought that was great. Let's flip the script to last night, Derek.
All right.
Been sitting in 328 for a couple of years now. Mm-hmm. I kind of know where the stands are. I kind of know what I like, know what I don't like. Middle of the second period last night, I was like, I'm a little bit hungry. I'm going to beat the intermission rush, and let me go grab a bite. So I'm like, I'm going to walk over to section 314 where the healthy choices are upstairs.
Responsible of you, Mike.
They have a nice little hummus platter with some grilled pita and some veggies, and it's nice. I enjoy it.
I think they call that crudite?
Sure. I don't know. I think you're even making up words at this point.
I am deliberately mispronouncing words.
So I walk over there and it was closed. And I was like, well, that stinks. So let me just go downstairs and I'm going to go to the healthy choice. So as I walk downstairs. I go past a group of the Storm Squad, the folks who are there to kind of pump up the team. It was the 7 or 8 young ladies. And there's not a lot of folks in the concourse because everybody's watching the game. And I walk by and they're all chatting in it and no one says hello. No one's like, oh, hey, how you doing? Nothing. That's fine. You know, maybe they're running someplace. They weren't. So then I go and I'm looking at the healthy stand downstairs and realize that they've raised the prices on the hummus platter. And I was like, do I really want to pay that for the hummus platter? And while I'm standing there looking, no one at the, there's no one there. There's 4 people manning registers, but no one says anything to me. And I kind of look and I go away and I walk and I'm like, I'm going to go get some PDQ. So right by to the PDQ is where the Canes and Community Foundation is, where they're doing the auctions. And as I stand there and I'm looking at the stuff and there's a signed game-worn Teuvo Teräväinen jersey there. There's a Vladimir Tarasenko jersey there. There's this cool like laser cutout wood thing that the team has signed there that's a Hurricanes logo. And I'm looking through it and kind of scanning it. And there's a young lady there who's kind of manning the booth and kind of just hanging out, playing on her phone and looking around. Doesn't acknowledge my existence. I'm there for probably 45 seconds, maybe a minute or so. Okay, great, whatever. You're busy. So I go over to PDQ. Here's the nice part of the story. I said, hey, can I get some tenders? But, you know, can I maybe get them without the fries? And the lady was like, oh, well, it'll still be the same price. And I was like, okay, whatever. And the guy's like, I'll throw you a couple extra tenders. And I was like, sweet, thanks, man. So, you know, while
So we're at a grand total of 1.
It doesn't matter. You know, they swapped a tender for a fry and it was great.
I'm saying 1 positive interaction.
So I go back and I check out the Canes Kids and Community Foundation kiosk again, thinking maybe she just didn't see me because it was starting to bother me a little bit at this point. And nope, no reaction there. So I take the stairs back up because I've gotten fried chicken tenders, so I have to walk the stairs. And I go past 2 red-coated arena management people because, you know, all of the leaders, the management, the supervisors, whatever we're calling them, are now wearing the red jackets inside PNC Arena. Again, just them and me walking through, no one acknowledges my existence. So I went to 4 stands, had interactions with potentially up to 15 Canes staff, and I had 1 person talk to, no, 2 people talk to me. The 2 people that I paid at the PDQ booth. That, guys, from a Hurricanes perspective, if you are going to have a product on the ice that may or may not be great, you are in the hospitality business. You are fighting for hospitality dollars. It costs money to go to the games. I could have gone to a movie last night. I could have gone to a comedy work show last night. I could have spent my money 100 different places in Raleigh last night, and I chose to spend it at the PNC Arena with the Carolina Hurricanes. And you, while the game on the ice, I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a good, close-checking hockey game. The in-arena experience, the on-ice experience was good. My interactions with Carolina Hurricanes staff were abysmal. I feel like it's getting rampant. I feel like this Carolina Hurricanes team, someone in the arena staff, and I'm talking to you, Dave Olson, I'm talking to you, Larry Perkins, one of you guys need to figure out what's going on with your staff. I'm talking to you, Chris Greenlee, the guys who are responsible for the Storm Squad, Mike Foreman, all of you guys. Someone needs to say, if there is a fan who walks by you, you need to engage. Engage with this community. Engage with this fan base. Make me feel wanted. Make me feel important, because if I'm going to continue to pay you for a 21st season in this, I better damn well not be ignored by every flipping person that walks by me in that arena. And now I'm getting fired up, Derek.
I can tell you're banging on that chair.
My call on Monday will be to Don Waddell, and I will leave a message for Don, and Don will call me back and we'll have the same conversation, and I don't know if it'll go anywhere. But I tell you what, like you said, make it a valuable conversation. Mm-hmm. Give the team your feedback. And if the Carolina Hurricanes and anybody within the sounds of my voice is listening to this, you can be better. You must be better if this franchise is going to be anything more than what it is, which is a footnote in the hospitality industry in the Triangle. You better start talking, Derek.
Woo! Man, like I need to cool down just from listening to you. Mike, I tell you what, that was all really good. I think that was stuff that needed to be said. I know there are some folks on the team that listen to this podcast, but like you said, you will make sure that some other folks are aware of exactly what your experience was on Tuesday. Let's turn the page. Let's get a little bit happier. I know we're probably winding down on time for this podcast. Let's take a look at cheat mail, shall we, Mike?
You mean we're going to go open up the cheat mail, cheat mail. Gotta go get.
We are off on the snaps.
So bad.
You know, Mike, we would have been on the snaps if two more people said hi to you last night.
Probably. Let's go to, let's go to the elephant in the room. Let's go to our buddy Buntard. What's your take on the season-over-season results of the current power play coach? Way to slant your question, Doug.
Not meant. Is that a Brendan Moore subtweet for a guy who's not even on Twitter?
Oh, yeah.
Look, they're not great. I can't say anything that they are better than average to below average. The thing that's really surprising to me is how inconsistent the power play is. And I don't mean results, because all it takes is one puck past a goalie one night to go 50% to 0%. But what surprises me is kind of what we noted earlier. You look one night and the power play, you're like, man, they are everywhere. The passing is quick. It's going all around the ice. And then the other night, the next game, people will be flat-footed. The defense is just standing up there. And all the puck possession is on the half wall, and the shots are all from the point. It's that inconsistency that is surprising, considering who the power play coach is, Brendan Moore, who that man is about consistency. So that's really what surprises me. I'm not going to go like, oh, we got to make a change on the power play coach, but I wouldn't also be against it.
Season over season, you've got to have your guys who are going to be power play monsters scoring. And the two guys who are there, I'm looking at you, Justin Falk, and I'm looking at you, Sebastian Aho. Neither one of them scoring really much of anything right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the coach is as much an issue as we've got to get our leading power play guys, our lead power play quarterback, out of a funk. It's going to happen. Ups and downs happen. We're going to get this one fixed.
Here's a question from Mach2Q. Would you be interested in trying to acquire Alex Galchenyuk? Would a fresh start in a lower scrutiny market jumpstart his career? And I want to preface this question with, I don't want to get into any of that crap that's going on with Montreal and them airing out his Galchenyuk's personal demons, because that's a terrible thing to do. It should never happen. But that being said, should Montreal get rid of him? Should we try to take him off of Montreal's hands?
If Ron Francis can get value, absolutely. I think Alex Galchenyuk is one of those guys. You know, that there's another, you know, guy out there, and Carson Brewer asked us this one on the Twitter about acquiring Shipachov. You know, he might look good with Jeff Skinner. Galchenyuk might look good with Jeff Skinner. There's a lot of guys out there that this team has been burned by players with Russian names before, so I think there might be a little hesitancy on behalf of the fan base there, and guys who again may or may not come in with a little bit of baggage. This team could get, if you can get more scoring in this league, you go get it.
Mm-hmm.
You look at when we've been able to win, you need a third line that consistently scores, and if you can take guys and put them anywhere in that top nine and get you a few more goals across the span of a season, that could be the difference between playoffs and not. So if you can go find value, absolutely go find value and get it. This one was from Charlie Allen. I thought this was funny. He is at Charles B. Allen over on the Twitters. What emoji is Bill Peters?
God, that's a good one. I like that question a lot. I think there's a few ways you could go. One, a drop of water.
That's where he went.
Okay.
You know, he went full Kinetico.
Okay. I think there's that. I think there's also, you know, if you want to go post-game press conference Bill Peters, you can go with the emoji that just is not emoting at all. I don't know what the name of that one is, but it's just a straight line face.
Okay.
You could also just go with the Canadian flag, because that man is absurdly Canadian.
Yeah, yes, you know, the most.
I wish there was an Albertan flag emoji, but I haven't seen one.
Someone at Apple should get on that.
Yeah,
I like that. I like kind of where you went there. I would go with the head of lettuce.
Okay,
because he's like a salad. It's crucial. You can't really have it, and it's a salad without lettuce isn't necessarily good.
And a donut without a hole is a Danish.
But also, That man has a fine haircut that has not changed nor moved in the last 20 years.
Are you just saying that because you have the same haircut?
No, no, no. God, no. It's. I wish I could afford Bill Peters' barber. It's phenomenal. My God. Guy's got a good head of lettuce.
See, I think he could get his haircut with a Flobee.
So? I can't afford a Flobee?
It's really?
Like a, it's like a robot, isn't it?
Sure, Mike. how about from David Barry, David A. Barry 6, who comes out when Stempniak returns? And then any chance of taking Ryan out and moving Aho or Lindholm to center? But I wonder if this question changes after last night.
Yeah, with what looked like a significant arm injury to Tavo Terrifying, and I would say that Tavo's the guy who comes out because I would expect him to, if that was as bad as it looked, I would expect we're going to be without Tavo for 3 to 6 weeks.
And I did not see it.
It looked like it was either a bad wrist or potentially a broken arm. I'm hoping we get more info on that soon. It was definitely an upper body injury, but I think that's the piece there. I think the bigger question is the second part of that. Do you maybe do something differently with Derek Ryan and maybe move a guy like Sebastian Aho to center and see how that thrives and maybe shakes up the offense a little
Reunite
bit?
Reunite Rask and Stempy?
I don't hate that. You know, there's a lot of opportunities there. And then there's some guys down in Charlotte who are playing well with Zikov and mm-hmm. Fogel and Walmark. So there's definitely options down on the farm, and you can learn more about those options by checking out Mr. Workrate's newest weekly feature, Checking In. Checkmate, something.
The checkmates are the Checkers Storm Squad, yeah, I believe.
It is a Checkers pun.
It took a lot for me not to make a featured image for that article, either Checkpoint Charlie or a DUI checkpoint.
Very nice. Very nice. Derek, this is going to be the last one from me. This one comes in from one of our newest patrons over on Patreon. This is at Tweets from Seth. Who would win a tornado tag team match
Ooh.
Between the Cheaters Never Win crew and the Cheaters Never Pin crew?
I'm so glad you asked. Have you listened to the Cheaters Never Pin podcast this week yet?
I have not listened to this week's
podcast. Oh, so they answered this question as well, and they called us out. So first of all, I think this would be funny because, Mike, I have known you for a number of years, and even before you have become your new svelte self,
yes,
you're a man who has had tremendous agility and quickness. People would not have guessed that.
I've been referred to as El Gato before. You are right.
Yeah. So Tom and JC both called us out because they continue to laugh at my running. And I think it's just because I am tall and have a long gait.
Derek, you run like a baby giraffe. Let's be honest.
Right. But I get from point A to point B in a reasonable time.
You do.
It's just gangly. That's all.
Yes.
So they called me out for that. They called you out for a lack of agility and said it would be no trouble for them to take us out.
Oh, that's cute.
So,
ladies and gentlemen, I propose to you at the season-ending tailgate.
Oh, God.
We reach out to our friends at Gouge Wrestling. We have the ring set up.
No.
And we have Cheaters Never Win takes on Cheaters Never Pin. $5 entry fee, all the money goes to charity.
This will end poorly for everyone except charity.
Yeah, but I mean, come on. I like this. What's your okay? So here's my question, Derek. I mean, obviously the Cheaters Never Pin would win because A, we have a longer history. We can play off each other much better
That's
than
true.
Those two yahoos.
They're the
Tom
team
has that... Tom has a bum knee and JC is a drama king.
Yeah.
So
JC would have a tremendous entrance and then just like and once it gets to the match, like there's not a lot of charisma.
So basically, they're Breezango.
Well, I was going to say, because you said they're kind of newer together, they are the Battle Bowl Lethal Lottery team that just got put together.
Oh, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Ah, some old WCW?
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Where they would just mix up the like they would have a pay-per-view.
Oh, that's
teams.
Right. Yeah. Okay, gotcha.
Hey, why are Arn Anderson and Ron Simmons on a team?
I don't know. Damn! Sorry, folks who are listening. Anytime Ron Simmons is mentioned, I have to drop that. We would absolutely take them out. Finishing maneuver, Derek, what are you going with?
I mean, I love a good Razor's Edge.
I mean, as do I. Two-man Razor's Edge?
Oh.
Oh, Too sweet, me, bro. That's for you, JC. Great question. Thank you for sending that in. And for those of you who do listen to our sister podcast and have wrestling love, JC and Tom, a.k.a. Mr. Workrate, do a great job over at Cheaters Never Pin. Check them out. We really appreciate their kind of being part of this little 328 family. But also, they had something that they were passionate about. They took Jeff Merrick's advice, and they've started a podcast. And it's growing in listenership every day. I mean, before you know it, it'll be, you know, up to 5% of this podcast.
Ooh,
shade thrown.
God, I was like, compliments. Oh, there it is. They're gonna need some ointment on that one.
You know what doesn't need ointment, Derek?
What's that?
That beer. Tell these fine folks about it.
You're right. So it is a morning podcast. Mike mentioned that he added a little bit of booze to his coffee. I waited on coffee this morning because I knew I was gonna drink a coffee beer. So I picked up this Prairie Artisan Ales. It's called No Chill. It is a milk stout that is aged on coffee. I got it from a fantastic bottle shop that I'll probably be mentioned by name in a future podcast. But it's really good. If you guys know Prairie, kudos to you. If you don't know them, get some Prairie beers. They do a fantastic job with anything from sours and funky styles to dark beers. But I think they really shine with dark beers. My introduction to Prairie was with Prairie Bomb. It's a bourbon-aged stout that's like 13%, and it's just effing phenomenal, and it'll take care of you when you drink it. This one is much lower in alcohol, which is why it's a great choice for an 11 a.m. beer. It's 5%, but it's still really good. Mike tried this too, and he concurs. It's got a real good like chocolate brown kind of color to it. The aroma is fantastic.
Oh, the aroma is delightful.
Like, it's vanilla, it's roast, it's coffee. It even smells smooth. And that's the experience with this beer. It is lightly carbonated. It's not as flat, as I'm going to say, as a Guinness. It's got that good stout texture that you want. Just absolutely delicious. Great coffee flavor. It finishes nice and dry, but as a milk stout, there's probably a little lactose in there, so it is rounded and a little bit creamy, so it doesn't come across as thin or harsh. So everything works really well together. This 12-ounce can, Prairie, you know, tends to be somewhat on the pricier side for their beers. They're not exorbitant, but it's not a beer I'm going to like buy every single day. I think this 12-ounce can was $4, but well worth the $4 on here. Great stuff. Highly recommend you pick these up. And it's a beer that I think was only going to taste better as the weather turns cooler.
This, Derek, could be the perfect beer to start a Saturday where basically we are going to watch football all day. I believe your Ohio State Buckeyes might have an important game today in the shoe. The NC State Wolfpack have an important game today.
Yeah, baby.
And Carolina Hurricanes back on the home ice tomorrow night to take on the Anaheim Ducks of Mighty, I believe they are now called.
I think you can put those words in any order and it's fine.
Yeah. It'll be a fun game. 5 p.m. puck drop. Tickets still available. Probably not a whole heck of a lot of tailgating by yours truly tomorrow because, well, it's going to be 60 degrees and raining. And that just feels bad, and plus there's like this whole little cough thing that's going around my house. So we won't be tailgating, but we will absolutely be out there, and we would love to have you come out there and say hello to us. So you know where to find us. We are on row C of Section 328. We are on the Twitters at Twitter _ Section 328.
Respect the underscore.
You can find us on, you know, facebook.com/section328. You can find the podcast wherever good podcasts are. iTunes, Google, Stitcher, all sorts of crazy Tune places in. Like that. Tune in. Leave us a review. Rate us. Subscribe. Those reviews not only feed our egos, which are huge and massive and must be fed, but they also help other hockey fans find the podcast because once you get more reviews, you it's more easy to be searched. And when someone just says, oh, I want to find a new hockey podcast, that's how folks will find them. And with hockey podcasts that have gone by the wayside, like Merrick versus Wyshynski or my one of my favorites from last year, Biscuits, which was Lozo and Down Goes Brown, is no longer here. So folks are looking for new ways to fill their hockey podcastery, and we'd love to get a few new folks interested in this ye oldie potter.
And tell a friend. If you enjoy this podcast, just tell a friend.
If you don't enjoy this podcast, go on a rant and tell us. maybe start up a podcast and just talk about how bad we are. That's fine. We don't care. Because we do this for you, our friends. We do this so that way it gives us a chance to get together every week, have a beer, and talk Carolina Hurricanes hockey. We look forward to being back here next week, where we will probably be back with one Mark Armstrong from ABC 11. Who knows? I think we're also working on getting Jason Shia from the Charlotte Checkers back on the podcast to talk a little bit down on the farm. So, lots of good things happening. Relax, folks. Things are going to be okay. If you feel yourself getting all pent up and think bad things are happening, go to section328.com, go find Meg's Hurricane Watch, and that will bring levity and brightness into your life.
Oh, God, we forgot to talk about those earlier. Those have become, like, my favorite part of game day.
Yes, absolutely, because Meg is awesome.
Yes.
She is at Love and Hydrogen over on the Twitters. I'm M. Flanagan. You're D. Russell. This has been the Cheaters Never Win podcast. Thanks, y'all, for listening. Until next time, we are out of here.
Beyond!